Happy New Year. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
We will. This class is to the Zohar class for the Parsha of Noah. We are starting section 22. And the first verse is verse 164, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudshabarifu ishkin te bifhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yud he bavad he b'yichud ashalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Vaydaber Al mitzvah, la'asok ba'orah, ba'mitzvah. Ba'ayinu amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei adenu k'nanei aleinu ma'asei adenu k'naneihu. Va'yomer adunai lanu ach bo'ata v'kol betcha amar Rabbi Shimon amai v'kalho. Elokim v'haka Hashem Maishana Haka Teitmar Hashem Shema ila'a dirachame Ela raza Yehudi olifna Lavorach ara Lekabela yitzta Ushpiza Bahadayala Birshu Divala. And Hashem said to Noah, come you and all your house. Rabbi Shimon asked, why does the term Elohim appear in all the verses of the text, while here the name Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is mentioned? What is different here that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the supernal name of mercy, was mentioned? This hints at the secret we have already learned, that it is not proper for a woman to invite a guest into her house without the permission of her husband. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I don't remember learning that before. That a woman. I always thought the home was our domain.
The home is your domain. To invite a guest into your house, don't you include and let your husband know he or she is coming?
Yes, and sometimes he invites them, and I kind of tell him, well, you need to let me know before you do that. So maybe I need to start changing my attitude. I do know this, when someone comes in, he's quicker than I am to offer them something to drink or to eat. It's just automatic with him as soon as they walk in the door. So
I know
who's the guest.
What'd you say, Maka?
Who were the guests?
You're asking who were the guests in this discussion, in this verse?
Yes. Or
well,
am I confused?
To understand who is the guest, you have to understand who is the woman and who is the male in this pasuk. Remember, everything is relative.
Okay.
So the name Elohim is a left column name because it's a name of judgment. And the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is a right column name, which is because it's a name of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So the male is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the female is Elohim.
Brandela.
So, welcome, Brandy. We're on section 22 of Noach, and we're in the first verse, and we've already read it. We're now discussing it.
Thank you.
So, getting back to your question, Monica, who is the guest? The guest is... I'm trying to understand how to present this to you. Since the Rabbi Shimon is saying that always the female name Elohim is being used in the verses of Noah, but here the male is being used. And the explanation is that the male was being invited in as the guest.
In the first sentence, it says, you and all your house. I would have thought, mm-hmm. right, at first house was his family. But if he's talking to Noah to come in, I think the house has to do with the ark. Come you and all your house. That's what when Hashem was telling him to go into, and in other words, inviting him into the ark, but to take his family with him. So,
and house, so the guest is actually the guest is Noah. The guest is Noah and his family. Thank you for correcting me, Anna. You're absolutely right.
Well, I wasn't correcting you. I was just making a statement. I did notice, it caught my eye, because we know the Ushpazin at Sukkot. But it's, you know, it's singular in the verse here. But the Aramaic is very close to the Hebrew. So it's a single guest.
Noah with his wife is in one soul.
Mm-hmm.
Malka, did we answer your question?
Yes. So basically,
okay.
Noah and his household is basically he and his wife is the guest, and the family would be his children.
Well, no, he and his wife, the word house is a metaphor for someone's wife.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the wife always includes the children.
Okay.
I took it as two code words. That house was a code word for two words, his family. And because that particular verse, come you and all of your house, Hashem was inviting them into the ark, that gave house two different meanings as a code word. Because I know once they got in, it was shut the gate.
We would have to look it up, but if I remember correctly, when Hashem said to Noah to come into the ark, he specifically said, come into the ark. So.
Okay. Well, that's
so
what
the word house is just referring to people.
Okay.
It would be Noah, his wife, and his children.
Okay.
But we do need to check that for sure. But that's what my memory is saying. Are there any other questions, or should I go on?
So Hashem is inviting them into his house, the ark, and Hashem closed the door behind the guest. He shut the door for them.
Correct.
Okay. So basically, he's concealing them from the negative side.
You broke up. Please say again.
So Hashem is concealing the family or the guests from the negative side. Or from judgment.
How do you get that?
She gets it not from visitors, from other studies.
Right.
And that's why I didn't answer you, because I'm thinking about it. The closing up of the ark is concealing Noah from the destruction. So, yes, it is from the negative side.
Well, it was Hashem who shut the door of the ark.
Right.
So I just, you know, I'd remember that. We've been in Noah so long, we have to go back and read what the door said. Again, to be specific.
So, should I go on, or we still need to discuss this more?
I'm okay with going on.
Verse 165. O Faki Noah Ba'ala Betevuta Le'itcha Bira Ba'avda Ve'lav Hawa Ya'ot Adivala Teteva Yahav Le'ya Rishu Le'ya Ala'a Dikti Bo'ata V'ko Betcha El Hateva Ugin Kach Yikre Aka Hashem Ba'ala Teteva di ukden al noach ve'it habar Bahadah bekein olifna Dileit le'ya Rishu le'ush biza B'mei al veta Ela birshu ba'ala Mareya de veta Adahu diktiv Livatar v'yavo Noach v'gomer. It was the same when Noach was asked to enter the ark, which is Malchut, and to unite with her. It was not yet proper for him to enter until the husband of the ark gave him permission to do so. As it is written, come you and all your house into the ark. And this is why the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, who is the husband of the ark, is mentioned there. For Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is Zeranpin, and the ark is Malchut. Only after the husband gave permission did Noah enter and unite with the ark. Thus we have learned that a guest does not have permission to enter a house without the consent of the husband, the owner of the house. This is why after the mention of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, it is written, and Noah went in. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, that expounds on what we just talked about.
Right. The spiritual world, the way I see it, the spiritual world is the husband. The Malkut is the wife. And anytime they connect, it is in the male dominant. In the spiritual side, it's a male dominant figure where they, are husband and wife. My question is, if someone comes and say the wife is in the home and someone comes to the door and they they're there and you say hello or, answer the door, is it not proper to invite them into your home? I mean, even if the husband's not there, to me that's kind of like being disrespectful to your human interaction, and because I always thought that you're supposed to invite even a stranger into your home to feed or to give water or that sort of thing. If need to, you just kind of turn them away. You don't answer. I'm a little confused because it's about hospitality. You're supposed to be.
You don't turn the person away. But if it's somebody you don't know and they ask for a glass of water, you don't need to bring them into your house to get them the water. You say it's your husband's not home, and then you go get the water and you bring it out to them. Now, obviously, if it's raining or the weather is inclement, you might invite them into the vestibule, but you wouldn't invite them further into the house. You wouldn't put them up, invite them into your living room if that's where you were. On the other side of the discussion or the equation is, I would assume that your husband gives you permission to invite anybody into your house as long as you feel safe. So it's not going to stop the human interaction, and it is good to make people welcome, to be hospitable, especially in our generation. We need to be safe. We need to be aware that there's a lot of negative energy outside of our protection, our protected space called a home. And so when you invite someone into your house, whatever energy that person is connected to, you've also invited into your house. And it's very important that you do protect yourself. That's the whole purpose of the mezuzah, is to keep the negative entity that is waiting at your door, in your doorway, to keep it from entering your house. So I hope I'm not confusing you bringing spiritual aspects into the practical question that you've asked. It's a very practical question. It's a good question. And yes, we do need to treat people responsibly. We do need to treat people properly with care. But we also need to know who we're inviting into our house. I think we've read stories in the preface or in other. I know I have read stories. I just don't know if it was before our deeper studies. But in the Zohar, many times, Rabbi Shimon, when would say, please come in, and those who are not supposed to come in, please stay out. And he was talking about the spiritual negative entity, the angel of death. It was part of the Idra Rabba and the Idra Zuta, both, where there's that kind of language there. So I hope I'm being clear.
Yes, absolutely.
Any other questions? And we'll go on to verse 166. Tachatze makitiv ki otcha ra'iti tzadik lefanai bador azeh Mikan olifna dila yekabel parnash ushpiza beveteya ihu hashid beyad ihu chayava elai kaim beino lezakaa dila hashid Pieno kilal ahidikti bo ata veko beitcha el hateva. Maita ma begin ki otcha raiti tzadik lifanai bador hazeh. Come and see what is written. For you I have seen righteous before me in this generation. From this we learn that a person should never accept a guest into his house if he suspects that he might be wicked, and he should accept him only if he considers him to be righteous and is not at all suspicious of him. That is why it is written, come you and all your house into the ark. Why? Because you I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm always laughing when one comes to the door and I don't know them. Now, our front door has two doors, you know, it's two doors, and so one side, it stays shut all the time, and so it's just easy to just open a small crack and say, may I help you? Most of the time, it's a postman or, you know, someone. It doesn't happen very often, but during the day, we keep the garage door open, and I have to now lock the garage door, because I have a neighbor from another country who I really think they just don't know etiquette in America. And she just barges in. And one time she really frightened me. I was in my kitchen and all of a sudden she appeared and I jumped and said, don't you ever do that again. It just frightened me so much, you know, just startled me, I should say. And so since that time, I locked the door.
Do you have a mezuzah on that inner door from the garage to the house?
Yes, I do.
Have you checked it in? Have you checked it in the last 7 years?
Well, we've been here 7 years, so maybe it's time to check. You know, but the ones at my door, I have them. All the outside doors, I have them in cases within, you know how you have that little plastic case with a stopper, that you don't just roll it and cover it with saran wrap or, you know, it's actually a sealed little case, and I do that on purpose. but
The halakha says you should check your mezuzahs before you put them up, obviously, and then at least once more in the 7-year period they need to be checked.
Okay.
So if you've been there 7 years, it is time to have your mezuzahs checked, whether they're in a case or not. The activity within the home can affect the mezuzah. And the reason I'm saying that is that the woman should not, if the woman was going to startle you, if the woman should not have been able to pass that mezuzah. So you should definitely have that effect.
Okay, I'll just check it. I know we should not keep the garbage can near the door, and I think either the trash can, I try to keep them empty, in the bathroom and all. I don't leave them very long. I try to keep them. As soon as my guests leave, I'll go empty that bag with whatever they wash their hands, and I always keep napkins in there rather than towels, so that each person has their own napkin to dry their hands. And then as soon as they leave, I empty that.
Understood.
Same reason, but that is a good reminder about checking the mezuzah.
And do you have a mezuzah on the garage door itself as well?
Yes, I do. But I couldn't place it on the outside of the because of the brick.
That's understandable. The garage doors are rarely do we put them on the door frame. We have to put it on the outside.
Okay. Well, I have it on the inside frame.
Well, that's really like not having it. It's not doing its work.
Okay. I don't know how I would attach it. How do you attach a mezuzah to brick?
With double-sided tape.
Yeah, adhesive tape.
Double-sided tape will do it.
With the way it hits the leather, I don't see how it would stay up. But I'll check into it.
Okay. I mean, there are glues today that you can do anything, and as long as you're dealing with a plastic case, you have a backing. So
well, that one is metal because I felt like it would get more moisture than any of them, and the one going into the house is far enough away from the opening of the garage, but that one, since it's so near the garage, it's a metal one. But I'll check it, because that's, and we'll figure out something.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead. You sound wonderful, so I hope you get a full refill of Shulema.
Thank you. I know we're supposed to have our mezuzah scrolls checked, but where can you get a scribe to check them?
I check mine myself.
Well, I don't recommend that, but you can do that. Wherever you buy the scrolls, they should have access to the scribe because they buy the scrolls from the scribe and then resell it to you. So the Jewish bookstore or the store in the synagogue, they're getting the scrolls from somewhere. And that somewhere is the scribe. And all of the scribes will check. They know the halakha is to check it, at least one more time in the 7 years, every 7 years. So,
okay.
I can do that. To look to see if it was cracked or if something was faded or if a letter was missing, you know, that kind of thing. I know over the years that I've had different houses, I've only had one, and that was one on that had a, that house had a carport. So it got moisture, you know, moisture was more susceptible there. And so that's why I've always tried to get Mrs. that had cases for outside.
You have to remember that human activity affects spiritual things. And that's the reason that it has to be checked. I can tell you frequently, I've heard stories both from my teachers and from personal experience with my students where a mezuzah was not checked and some event like a robbery took place. And then they immediately did check their mezuzahs and found that there was a missing letter or a broken letter or something. And it shouldn't have happened, but it does happen because human activity affects the
so it's not
the letters that are on the wall.
No. I have a short story.
And I know that, go ahead.
That goes, that backs up what you're saying. There was a man who had a daughter, and his daughter started having trouble with her eyes. She couldn't see. So they took her to New York to have her looked at. It was a very kosher home. And before they could get in to see this optometrist, he went and to morning service and prayed. And he brought someone told him that he needed to check the scroll on his door. And he called his wife in Israel, and she went to a scribe, and he checked it. And the letters that were blocked out had to do with the word I. And as soon as they bought a new scroll, had it blessed, and put it back the next morning, the daughter's eyes got all better. She went to the optometrist to be checked, but she was all cleared up.
Right.
So it is important. Just one little, small, insignificant thing like that. And that was, you know, from daily use, going in and out of the house.
Correct. And the one thing I would say, Hannah, you know, I know you're very knowledgeable and you can check the scrolls in the gross way, in the large way of being able to make sure that all the letters are there. But being able to check for a break in the letter, you tend to have to
So I don't know where we'd find a scribe. And who knows where I ordered anymore. The Klein Brothers, I think, was where I ordered mine.
You don't have to go back to where you order them. Every scribe will inspect a mezuzah scroll, no matter who created it, whoever wrote it. They do it. They charge a very small fee, and they check to make sure that none of the letters are cracked and none of the letters are missing and everything is kosher in the scroll, and then they'll give it back to you. But if there is something wrong, they will correct it or they will say it's not worth correcting. But it's very much part of their the work that they need to do. And there's a reason why we're told every 7 years it needs to be checked.
So what we would need to do would be Google a scribe and ask if we've mailed our disclose to them to be checked?
Yeah,
I mean, there's no one around here.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm just you're breaking up, so I'm not really hearing your question.
Okay, I said there's no one here in our area. Maybe Donna knows someone or Brandy, but you know, where would you send yours, Brandy?
I think I would just buy a new one.
That's what I was asking. I'm going to have to find out where there's a scribe that I can send mine, you know?
Do you have a store in the synagogue?
No. Yeah. I used to be the one who took care of the, we called it the gift shop. But once the internet started, you know, that phased out, so no one, and I had to order from catalogs that I was sent as the, you know, the caretaker of the gift shop, and that was why I ordered Fine Brothers, because that was where we ordered mantles for the Torah scrolls and other, you know, things that we needed for
And if you call them up, they will tell you where to send it to, either directly to the scribe or whether they want to receive it first and then they'll give it to a scribe to check. But they will do it.
Okay, that sounds good.
Hanok, with that said, if you take the scribe out, you're unprotected. Until you get that back, would it be more common sense to just buy new ones and replace them?
If you have the resources, yes, but many people don't have the resources.
Well, the least expensive one you can find is about $36.
Well, they're no longer $36. They're more like 42 or 48.
Okay.
The prices have gone up. And you could rotate it, but in a given home, it's even a small apartment, you have 3 to 4 mezuzahs you need to buy, so it becomes very pricey. And so what you could do is take off one mezuzah and send it and rotate one of the mezuzahs from the inner part of the doors to your outer door so that your outer doors are always protected as much as possible. But if you have the resources to buy another one, that is the easiest way to go. By the same token, you know, then you can do some charity, because I'm sure you have you can find poor Jewish people who could use the mezuzah in their home. Or you can donate it to a Jewish charity and they will find a home for the mezuzah. Shall we go on to the last pasuk in this section, so we'll finish it today?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. If it's okay with him.
Yes, sir.
Verse 167. Lom leveta ahidikti boata v'kol beitcha el ha-teva l'kol ha-yachev reshuta l'me'al u'mikra da'o lifna raza di'orcho di'ara And we have also learned that if the husband gives permission to the guest alone, but not to his companions, the guest should not bring them into the house. In the verse, "Come you and all your house into the ark," permission was given to all of Noah's companions to enter the ark. And from this passage, we learn a secret concerning proper manners and ways of conduct. Malka, you were very accurate with your questions. Questions, what, comments.
In what way? Which part of it?
By asking the proper way of receiving guests.
Oh, okay.
You picked up on the verses in the section were really answering your question.
Mm-hmm.
That you raised from the first verse.
My mind goes, and what we were discussing earlier about hospitality, or I was discussing about mm-hmm. hospitality, or asked the question, my mind always goes back to Abraham, where he would
Correct.
Run after the stranger to bring him into his tent. I understand that he can bring him into Sarah's tent, or the woman's tent. But he would run after strangers to invite him into his tent for hospitality. And I always took that at heart as we are the children of of Hashem, and we should always have hospitality to family and to strangers. And I always strive to do that. I always strive to, as Hannah said with Tony, he's always saying, "Do you need want something to eat? Do you want something to drink?" You know, I'm always doing that. And then I always walk them out the door and wait for them to enter their vehicle and to leave. And then I shut the door behind me. So I always take that at heart. And as I leave my home and go into town or wherever I'm traveling to, I always make a point to be some kind of hospitality, if that's a smile on my face or if that's opening the door for someone, no matter who they are, male or female, opening the door wherever I go. If they are behind me, then I wait and I open the door and keep the door open for them to pass through. So I always took that, which is a beautiful thing about Abraham or anybody that does so, that is the way we're supposed to respond to our fellow human beings,
Yeah, that is correct. But here you're getting the provisos to be aware of the negativity and
right.
to protect yourself from negativity.
And I think
and
that's
I would also
common sense.
Go ahead.
I think that's common sense, and I think you can sense that something's not right when you do meet, someone. You have maybe I should just speak for myself. I have the sense of awareness, should I say,
Understand.
And
I would remind you another aspect of the Midrashim about Abraham. When you invite somebody into your home and you offer them food and drink, or one or the other, you help them with the blessing beforehand, and you ask them to say the blessing after. Because what the Midrash said is Abraham was essentially running a hotel. People who would travel and come by his tent, he would invite them in to be hospitable and to take care of people. But he always would, at the end of the meal, he would provide them with the Berkat Hamazon, so for them to say it or to say some form of blessing after they ate. because the food was coming from Hashem and they were satisfied with it. And if they didn't want to say the blessing, he would provide them with a bill of $10,000 or the equivalent.
Right.
So it would, you know, some absurd amount. So that they could either say the blessing, which was not real difficult, or they could pay the bill of this exorbitant amount. So keep that in mind as well. It's all part of the who Abraham is and what is chesed, what is truly chesed. Because on the one hand, you're providing physical sustenance for people, but you also have to give them the opportunity for spiritual sustenance, which is what the blessing after is about. Come on in.
True. And I think sharing.
You can do it. Go ahead.
I see it as sharing
that,
the blessing. And that's kind of how it, and they see it by your example, or they respond by your example, where they may go out and do that same misvote or blessing to someone else, you know. So you've shared the light that you have within your vessel with someone else, because if you walk in the blessing, you should not have to say anything, because they see you walking in righteousness. So sometimes it can be a silent thing.
I find when they come to the door, and they're strangers, they'll ask you, what is that on your door? I mean, then the person that took the census asked me. And then about a year later, she appeared at the synagogue and reminded me who she was, you know. And then when they come in the house, they see Jewish artifacts, you know, shofar and things, and they ask questions, whether they're a painter or, you know, I ended up ordering two Tanakhs in Spanish because the painter told me that his name was Israel and that he was Catholic, but several generations back his family was Jewish. And so just by painting a house and asking questions, he asked, could he get a Jewish Bible in Spanish? Then I said, yes, I could get you one. Could you get me two? But one for my wife. And that happens all the time, you know. Then eventually I mailed him a calendar so he'd know what tour portion. So, I don't know. I think when you dedicate your home to Hashem, you don't really have to do too much. They come to your door.
Right. By presenting an examples and walking in it, and I mean, they just feel at home, you know. But you could just see them relaxing and enjoying.
By demonstrating our actions,
right?
That is the revealing the light, and the light allows other people to see, and they will eventually start. And that's the way it's to be done, by example, not by coercion or any kind of stress. So tonight's class will be continuing the essays from Rabbi Ashlag from probably 2 months ago. And I remind you of the class tomorrow morning. That's 7 a.m. West Coast time, so it will be 9 o'clock your time and 10 o'clock my time. And we'll do mini Zohar tomorrow at 4:30 and a Tikkuni Zohar at 7 p.m. So I wish you all a happy new year and a wonderful evening. And welcome back to the real world after the holiday. Shalom to all.
Okay, thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.